ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലയാ പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ഡ രാധാകുണ്ഡ ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സവദൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി ഇതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവീ ദേവീ ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദ്വായിദേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമോ ഗൗരകിശോര ഉത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്താധ്വാന്തഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബര സാംബോധേ പാദാംബുജായ ദേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനൂഗവരായ ദേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവ ഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയാഹം വൈഷ്ണവഃ സാർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ ദേ നമഃ വാഞ്ചകൽപദരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യേവ ച ഹരിദാനം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരദ്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധു ബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരദൗഭംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാം ഭോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനൗ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദൌ ശ്രീമദ്രത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൌ ശ്രീമദ് ശ്രീരാധാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാലിവി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിതാഹം കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനേർ ഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥാശ്രിയേസ്തുനാഹം തപ്തകാഞ്ചനഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരീ പ്രിയേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദം ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ So, last Saturday, we were discussing this point that, like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Dharmam ja, Jnanam ja. That is how Srinarada Maharshi instructed Prahlada in that way. Dharmam ja, Jnanam ja. Dharmam and Jnanam, both are necessary. തെജ ധർമ്മം അധർമ്മം ച ഉഭേ സന്ധ്യാനൃതം വച ഉഭേ സത്യാനൃതേ ത്യക്ത്വ ഏന ത്യാജസി തൽ ത്യജാഹ. സോ മഹാഭാരതം ശാന്തിപർവം സേസ് ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി തെജ ധർമ്മം അധർമ്മം ച ഇനീഷ്യലി ഇൻ അവർ ഡീലിംഗ്സ് വിത്ത് ദിസ് വേൾഡ് വി ഹാവ് ടു ടേക്ക് ഇൻ ടു അക്കൗണ്ട് ധർമ്മം അധർമ്മം എവറിഥിങ് ബട്ട് ആസ് ഫർ ആസ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ നോളജ് ആൻഡ് സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഇസ് കൺസേൺഡ് ധർമ്മം ഈസ് നോട്ട് ദ ക്രൈറ്റീരിയ. Dharma means as far as the vyavaharam is concerned or dealings with the world is concerned. As far as the soul is concerned, which is independent of the body, the three modes of material nature, who is totally free from all bindings, that's all. As far as that is concerned, they are not affected. That is why it says, anyatra dharmar, anyatra dharma, adharmar. Dharmam adharmam in Kathopanishad, when Nachiketas goes to see Yamadharma Raja, this discussion happens there. So Nachiketas was so intelligent, he was only a young boy. He says to Yamadharma Raja like this, he says, Dharmam adharmam is there. I am not interested to hear about dharmam adharmam. Talk to me about that thing which is beyond dharmam and adharmam. Normally, we link dharmam adharmam with spiritual life, isn't it? Very strongly we consider. Oh, he follows all the religious principles, he does everything. But that is not the criteria itself, but that is necessary at the same time. This is the principle. Knowledge inside, dharmam outside. That is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma is like that. Inside, an understanding, the knowledge of the soul and self-realization, that is priority here, inside. But if you can't bring that knowledge and disperse it in the world outside, then you will be in trouble. That knowledge should stay inside, and on that platform you have to stay always. But dealing with the world, you have to follow the rules of the world, whatever that is present at the particular time in the place and all that. Time, place, circumstances, all this will apply to dharma is concerned. Soul is concerned, knowledge of the soul is concerned, time, place, circumstances doesn't apply. This is important thing, because the soul, the knowledge of the soul, Atmajnanam, Brahmajnanam, Brahmavidya, what they call in the Bhagavad Gita, that Brahmavidya is above all these things. It's not affected by dharmam. So that's why it says here. Then what is the purpose of dharma shastram? Like you know, all the smritis are written based on the dharmam. There is Yajnavalkya smriti, Manu smriti, Acharya Swamiji wrote his smriti also. The smritis on all issues. Why? Because access to the knowledge of the soul is very limited to people. They have found it very, very hard. So therefore, in order to bring people to that state, they executed this, they wrote down this smriti. Based on the smriti, people have to live the life in this world, and thereby they can make that progress on the path of dharma. So, in a particular stage, in a particular plane, you need that. You need dharmam also. So, but only when one has lived that life, he can come to listen, to hear about the science of the soul. Otherwise, it will not work. We can't mess around with the world outside and then think that everything will be fine because I'm only discussing the platform of the soul. They are linked in that way. So this particular verse, what we are looking at, this first verse in the Ishavanishad, is so important. What it says is, Ishavasamidam sarvam yat kinja jagatyam jagat. Don't, it says, that cover everything with Krishna. Ishavasamidam, everything is Krishna in this world. Everywhere you find anything, it's all, put the carpet around that or the blanket on top of it as the Krishna is present in that. In that living entity or in that object in some form. But Ishavasamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Jagat you can't mix with that. Jagat is covered with Krishna, but jagat you have to deal in a different way. So, but he says here that everything when you experience this world, anything what we experience in this world, experience it as though it is Krishna's wealth or Krishna's property. Ishvara Swarupa. Ishvara Swarupa means that recognizing Krishna's presence in that, enjoy it. That's what it says. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Otherwise, you can't see that as separate from Krishna. So, as is Krishna's form, it should be engaged. In other words, indirectly, Upanishad is talking to us, saying to us that in everything, the hidden thing inside everything, matter or individuals or different species of life, birds, plants, and beasts, in everything, the Chitsarupam, Chitshakti, see that Chitshakti inside. There is nothing else existing outside that Chitshakti. From that Chitshakti, everything has come. So, not to forget that. So that is why another name given to this world is Namarupam. Namarupam means name and form. So many names and forms in this world, isn't it? So when we deal with a particular name and form, we separate that from the truth. We separate that from the truth. What actually, when we interact with another person, what we are interacting with is actually the swabhavam of that person. Two things in a person, one is his swarupam and the other one is swabhavam. Swarupam means his identity on the spiritual platform, who he is, what is his real identity, that is called a swarupam. And that swarupam is common to everyone, it's the same thing. But what changes is swabhavam. Swabhavam means his nature, we say like that, isn't it? The nature of a person, he is like this, he is very arrogant, we say. Sometimes, or we say he is very kind, or sometimes we say he is very magnanimous, and different things we use about people. That is his swabhavam, it is not his swarupam. Swarupam is same for everyone, which never changes, it's always the same. It is swabhavam that is constantly changing. Swabhavam belongs to prakriti, material nature. Swarupam belongs to Krishna. This is the difference. These two things together are mixed up. So, that means Swarupam and Swabhavam is mixed up together, and that's what we are. We are the mixture of these two things, Swarupam and Swabhavam. Swarupam is Purusha. Swabhavam is Prakriti. Swabhavam is Jagat. Swabhavam is Jagat. So that is why it says here that when, what is Jagat means? Jagat is, we always talk about Jagat, isn't it? We say it's like this, that Jagat, yat kincha jagatyam jagat. What is this Jagat? Jagat means, simply if you look at Jagat, what does it mean? It's nothing but ragadvesham, isn't it? I like something, I don't like something. Or I am happy with this, I'm not happy with that. So ragadvesham. And this has, as soon as I interact with the world, it creates thoughts in me. Sometimes favorably, sometimes unfavorably. And that creates what is known as the mind. What is known as the mind. And that will produce the mind in me, and that is called Jagat. Jagat is nothing but the thoughts that's been created inside us due to the effect of the world outside. So that is why you will see, if you look into that first verse in the Chadushlogi Bhagavadam, there it says, Aham eva sameva agre nanyajyad sadasalparam paschad aham yade racha yogashisheda sosmeham. It says, in the beginning, only the consciousness was there, awareness, which is Krishna, the bodham, or bodham state. That is, Krishna was present in the beginning. At the end, also, if you look, it's only yogashisheda sosmeham. Krishna says only the awareness exists. It is only due to that awareness we are aware of other things. See how important that awareness is. We don't take notice of it very much, do we? We take notice of all the other less important things. But this awareness in a person, bodham, as it is called, is the most important thing, and that is the direct manifestation of Krishna within us. Krishna's direct manifestation within us is that awareness. If that awareness is not there, then this world doesn't exist for us. Is it not? That is why Krishna says, in the beginning only the awareness existed. In the end also it's only the awareness that exists. In between, what happened? Because of the connection with the world, it has created a lot of thoughts inside, and the mind popped up. The mind got up from inside. When the mind got up and it blossomed, the world existed for us. So the world, the influence of the world on us is in the form of mind. This is the conclusion from that. If the world is not creating these thoughts inside, when we say world, it includes everything. Jagat, isn't it? That means ragadvesham towards different living entities, species, different objects in this world. This is our life daily, is it not? The five senses of knowledge and the five senses of action, they deal with this world, and it creates all sorts of thoughts, processes inside us. And that is what is called the mind, different vigalpam. Vigalpam it is called. It creates vigalpam inside. That means our somehow or the other, this thing called mind pops up in between the original state of aham and the final state of aham. In the aham state is that when there is no vigalpam, nirvigalpa state it is called. Without any vigalpam, that's called nirvigalpa state. So nirvigalpa state exists in the beginning, nirvigalpa state exists in the end. In between, when the mind has got up, mind started from unusual energy, this thing called mind, anirvajaniyam, it says, that mind wakes up and creates the world, and then you are busy with the world. And we are stuck in that situation at the moment. So, therefore it is said like this, that you can take many, many examples for that. About 25, 30 years ago, computers didn't exist, did they? They were not there. But what happened... At that time, we lived without computers. But after some time, what happened? They came into existence and people started using them, and they found the utility of that in their daily life in different forms. And in everything, anything and everything, computers have got involved with life, isn't it? So people have their different types of computers. They're using it all the time. And because it got inside us, it has become an important thing now for us, isn't it? So it has registered like that. We started thinking about the utility of the computer and the benefits what we are going to get from the computer. So what happened was, it has become what is known as another deity inside, isn't it? It's become a deity. How come it has become a deity now? As much as we started utilizing it and realizing the utility of the computer, it takes a form and it takes a name and a form, and it becomes established inside us as a entity, powerful entity. And that power of getting established like that is coming from the soul, from the soul. So everything what you see in this world has come from the Chaitanyam, from the living force. That is what it establishes as the deity. So, in the Chaitanyam means the living force, if we in that, if you give a name and form, it is called Devata. That is what Devata means. Devata, we can consider, understand this word Devata. So many Devatas exist, isn't it? Just like Agni, fire, moon god, Varuna, for water, and similarly air, all material elements, they all be called them as particular demigod, isn't it? We call them demigods or Devatas in other words. How does Devata Sangalpam came? Because in course of time, due to our interaction with that, we started accepting them as a name and a form for that person, for that energy. In other words, we start giving a name and form, and they got established as, we will call it as Agni, Varuna, Vayu, Chandran. Like that, in that way it came into existence. But suppose something does not register inside, if the nothing registers inside, then what exists then after that? It's only the soul and the chit shakti, or the potency, or the satya chitta anandam. That chit shakti alone exists. It is from chit shakti all these things have manifested, and we have given them a name and a form, and we started accepting as a entity in that way, isn't it? As an entity, just like computers. Computers have become everybody is so used to it now that people register a computer as a permanent thing in this world, isn't it? But they didn't exist some time ago. But what happens is, every time you give a name and a form to something, there will always be an attachment or an aversion towards that. Attachment or an aversion towards that. Just like computers also, some people are attached to computers, some people have an aversion to computers. Few people will have an aversion to computers. They don't want to use it more than absolute necessary, they say. They don't find it attractive. Some people, they like 24 hours on the computer. So this attachment, aversion, ragadvesham, comes to everything what has got a name and a form in this world. In everything, it will be there in some degree. In some degree, either ragam or dvesham. So ragadvesham comes when namarupam comes. Name and form comes, you will have attachment, aversion. That is why it is mentioned here that if it is pure chit shakti, you are Krishna conscious. You are fully conscious of your realized state. It's pure chit shakti. But as soon as namarupam, names and forms develops from that, there will be attachment and aversion, and you will have to suffer from that. There is no question about that. Anything, any object in this world will create some ragam or some dvesham. That means some attachment or some aversion inside. All these things to understand, you have to think in a very, very, very subtle level. Only then you can accept these things. Otherwise, so here, when we loved somebody in this world, or we hated someone in this world, sometimes we do that. We like somebody and we don't like somebody. Or in other words, sometimes we saw some object or we thought that it is useful for us in our living in this world. And as soon as you found it is useful, you have desired to have it. Isn't it? You have desired to have it. And when you wanted to have it, it has gone inside and created a desire inside. Created a desire inside. And in this interaction, in this way, all the objects gets inside us through this interaction process. That's why when all the senses are open and then they are dealing with this world, if you very carefully observe, you will see that in a very, very subtle plane, you are developing this attachment, aversion with everything in this world, with other individuals, people, other living entities. Even birds, plants, bees, some birds we like, some birds we don't like. And some plants we like, some plants we don't like. They are both plants, but why we have liking for one plant, liking for the other? There is ragam, there is dvesham. It is the name. Like a coconut tree or a mango tree we like, because they give us mangoes and coconuts. But if you see the nettle outside, we don't want to see, we bring from B&Q the best chemicals and throw it on top of it. And kill the plant, isn't it? Plant hasn't done anything to us, but already ragam has come inside, or dvesham has come inside. This is quite true with everybody in this world, with every living entity, this happens.
So this ragadvesham happens inside because there is a name and a form there existing, and it is through that this has happened. So that is why Krishna is saying here, so long as this ragadvesham is inside, it is not possible to see Krishna's presence in anything. Because when you start hating someone or when you start loving someone, ragadvesham has developed there. That is not. That is why Krishna says, cover everything with the ishavasamidam sarvam. Cover everything with Krishna. Let this ragadvesham not develop in a person. This is the most important thing. Krishna also says, isn't it? Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Isn't it? In the second chapter, if you look, you will see. Krishna says, ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. That indriyam or senses start functioning when ragadvesham comes in a person. So that's why it is spoken so strongly about it. So if it happens like that, that when ragadvesham happens, what happens? At the same time, I'm also thinking in two ways some thoughts comes about myself, in me. Some thoughts develops in me. One, in the form of ahanda. Ahanda means I am. Ahanda and mamata. Me and mine. It's me, because that is also takes birth at the same time. When ragadvesham happens, if you ask this question, that where is it happening? It's happening in me. Isn't it? I am present that time. Me, I am present there. And then, whether it is ragad or dvesham, basically attachment or aversion is happening to the false ego. And therefore, I have some attachment, mamata, mine. In that attachment stage is this ragadvesham developing. So you can see Krishna's point there very clearly. Krishna says there that first thing is about myself, about me, and second thing is my relationship with other people or other things, whatever you like to call it, or other persons. So this is the same thing what we refer to as kartrutva bhoktrutva. In another plane, it is kartrutva bhoktrutva. Kartrutva means I am present in that. Bhoktrutva means my sense gratification is affected by that. Isn't it? These are all very, for the jnani and for Bhagavad Gita, these are the subtle things in the explained there, that if we don't notice, if you reflect these things strongly, you will see, you will become very watchful about yourself, about your own mind. That is the beauty of that. Kartrutva bhoktutvam. For example, how kartrutva bhoktutvam develops? Say, I sang very well, I spoke very well, or I feel pride inside. And this is how it starts coming in. It starts coming in. So, that means, where did this, or somebody who has cooked a nice feast, I have cooked that feast. That it's a subtle level, it starts attached to that. Ragadvesham has already developed there itself. So to come to a state when this doesn't exist, it's not easy. It's not easy. Krishna knows that. That is why when Krishna spoke in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita second chapter and Krishna has finished Bhagavad Gita there. Second chapter tells everything what Krishna had to say to Arjuna. Then what did happen? Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, I know you have not understood anything what I have said. Although the highest knowledge was spoken in the second chapter, Krishna says that from now on, that knowledge in the second chapter, how it brings in for practical applications in life, day-to-day life, that is what is spoken in the remaining chapters. All the other chapters are referring to that. So, that's why he says here. So, suppose somebody has, one gets this thought that I've done this well, or somebody praises you, or somebody comments on that, saying that you've done very well on this, or something like that. When it's spoken, immediately the ahanda and mamada develops, and you will think about it, and you will enjoy it, hearing that, isn't it? Ahanda. So, whatever I have liked in this world, any objects, what I have liked in this world, I have attachment there. So, this is what is called Jagat. Jagat is not all the objects. We won't give importance to the objects in this world. Sometimes we take it like that. Jagat means all this creation, isn't it? That's how we think about it. But actually, Jagat means the interaction of the world with us as the in the individual soul, and what effect, impact it has created inside us. Ahanda kartrutva bhoktrutva. And this is the most difficult thing to get over in spiritual life. This kartrutva bhoktrutva. Very, very difficult to get over that, to cross over this. And that is why all in second chapter, Krishna is talking about it repeatedly and stressing this point. It stays as a bottleneck in front of us. So, when we are quiet, it stays quietly inside. But as soon as you start transactions with this world, it will come inside us through the senses. It will come. And I start seeing the world, and the world gets inside and starts affecting us. Is there a world outside really? We think there is a world outside, isn't it? Remember I gave this example before, that the whole world is present because of the mind. When the mind wakes up, the world exists. If there is no mind, the world doesn't exist. That is why self-realized soul, jnanis, they will say, for as far as they are concerned, world doesn't exist. They don't even certify the existence of the world. So, like one person, as I mentioned before, he went to a Mahatma and told him, why don't you come to America? He says, where is America? America is here, inside us. Now that person didn't understand what he was saying. America is 8,000 miles away. How could you say America is here? But then after hearing, thinking, reflecting on that, he understood the point. Point is this, America exists because my mind exists. My mind is not existing, America doesn't exist for me. So it is a manifestation of the Jagat, the world. What we consider as a Jagat, this manifestation, its importance is for whom does it exist? That question comes. It exists for me because my mind exists. And when I don't have the mind, I don't have America existing. I don't have America existing for me, or any country for that matter. So this is how the understanding, always going back to the source, from where has this developed inside. So in order that, and once you start the Jagat, the world in its form as you see now, and start recognizing every object with its different names and forms, Krishna says that is called Maya. That is called Maya. And it creates confusion, isn't it? All these different things in this creation, when they manifest in us, inside us, as soon as it is created, this ragadvesham inside, then we have to accept Maya. We have no way of escaping from Maya. Whether it is president or prime minister or an ordinary person in the street, we are all subjected to that, isn't it? Just like you can see that how different countries get involved in the war, different countries get involved in all kinds of dealings in one way or the other, and there is always this impact of Maya there. Maya's powerful energy is prevalent. Therefore, in order that none of these things get inside, we have to see that there is only one thing that exists. There's only that's all one thing. We have to come to that platform, and that is the strength. When you start seeing that it is only one thing that exists everywhere, which is Atma, soul, present in everything, if you understand that, and if that realization comes, then this Namarupam will not disturb inside. Names and forms of different things will not start creating the mind inside. Therefore, and that is why Upanishad says like this, Brahmajit Brahma Bhuvanam Brahma Bhuda Paramvaraha Brahmaham Brahmavad Shatruhu Brahma Mitra Bhandavaha. So everything here is Brahmam only. Brahmam, Brahmam, Brahmam. Upanishads keep stressing this point. It is Brahmam that is present everywhere. And that is one soul. The soul is that manifestation of the Brahmam. There is nothing else outside that. Wherever the mind draws us, whatever it may be, and wherever the eyes go, wherever the ears go, wherever the smells go, wherever the taste go, skin goes, whatever it, all the five senses, wherever it goes, ultimately it says there, yatra yatra manoyadi tatra tatra samadhayaha. Wherever the mind goes through all these senses, it's all samadhi state at that time. It's all samadhi for that person, because those sense objects are not creating any wave inside. No wave is created inside. No ragadvesham is created inside. So wherever he goes, he's always in meditation. He's always in meditation. So while his eyes are open and while he's situated in this world, he knows Ishavasam idam sarvam. He has covered everything with Ishvara, with Krishna. Ishavasam idam sarvam. That verse in the Upanishad is so well known that such a higher level of realization, how did the sages reach to that state, to this state of realization? That is the state, yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Now, if you say this, that he is always in the samadhi state, when he is in that realization, he is always in the samadhi. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Wherever in our dealings in this world, when you see conflicts there, that if you start seeing that if it is creating conflict inside, let's see Krishna there, Krishna's presence in that, so that that conflict won't get in. This is the way to escape from the conflict. Krishna says this in the Bhagavatam. We have no other spiritual advancement means on a subtle level progressing, not on the gross level. Gross level, politicians and business people, they do. They try to make compromises, isn't it? Politicians do, making deals each other, and businessmen also. All they do, their gross level. But spiritual life is in a subtle level, escaping from these problems. Because if you escape, if you solve on a subtle platform, the gross level platform won't exist. Problem will not exist. So, that is why it says here, wherever there is creates conflict inside, in some form of ragadvesham, we should see Krishna's presence there, seeing Krishna there. And if you do that, what will happen? The nature of that object will change. We don't change the nature. How we remember, how we interact with the object will change. There are two things. One, what we perceive through the senses. Everything is perception in this world, isn't it? How we perceive things in this world. The other one is experiencing something. They are two different things. Perception is one thing, experience is another thing. We talked about that in the Bhagavad Gita also. So when you perceive things, that is one thing. That is not experience. That is through the senses you are contacting with the world outside. But experience is coming from the soul. Experience is coming from the soul. So many things like the sense objects interaction with the senses, and it creates a wave, waves of thoughts inside us. That is called the mind. That's called the mind. That's why mind is called material. Mind is a material thing. Whereas when you are feeling attachment or affection for another person, affection not on a bodily level, but remembrance of Krishna's presence in another living entity, and feeling a relationship with that person in that platform, that's coming from the soul. That's coming from the soul. They are two different things. Perception and experience, they are two different things. That is the important point. So this knowledge is what is known as, this knowledge is like alchemy. Alchemy is that process by which we convert other metals into gold, isn't it? Other metals into gold. So this mantra, this Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, that mantra is like that. It converts everything into this knowledge. It converts into knowledge. So, why it is considered like in this way is that the gold, it turns everything into gold. Alchemy is that process by which you turn everything into gold. Good thing or bad thing in this world, doesn't matter. Some things to which we have attachment, it turns that into gold through this knowledge. Similarly, anything with which we have aversion, whether it is people or with objects or whatever it is, that also gets purified and turns into gold through this process, through this knowledge of Ishavasamidam Sarvam. If we accept that wholeheartedly, Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat, then Krishna says that it will change inside. There will be no ragam, no dvesham inside. That is what that verse is telling us. Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat will help us to get out of raga dvesham from this world. That is the principle behind it. Nowadays, everywhere there is gold shops, isn't it? In the past, there were not so many gold shops. We had a lot of vegetable shops. But now vegetable shops are very few. There is so much gold shops everywhere, jewelers. Everywhere you look, there's jewelers. Why? Because jewelry is so much in demand than vegetable now. So anyway, so removing that knowledge will completely purify our experiences in Anubhava Mandalam. Anubhava Mandalam means that plane of experience. That gets purified and that is pure. And in other words, it removes our ignorance from inside and some divine experiences it will reveal to us. So that's all it is. That's all it is. Just like a mother, when the mother plays with the child, sometimes just to entertain the child, mother will put a cover her head with a cloth or something and frighten the child just to play with the child. She will do something like that. And the child cries. Then the mother says, "Don't get frightened, it's me." Then the child feels happy. So similarly, when the fear goes away from the child, as soon as the mother says, "It's me," the child gets free from that fear. Similarly, this whole world is nothing but Maya's manifestation in different forms, in different qualities, good, bad, and right and wrong, and fearful and very soft, all these things. So that is why you will see when Maya Devi, Lalita Devi, she is referred to as Lalita Sahasranamam, there is a famous prayer towards her. There she is depicted in all these different forms, as she is the personification of everything powerful. She is the personification of everything loving. She is the personification of every anger. She is the personification of all the emotions in this world. It is Maya's personification. It is. They are not ours. They are nothing to do with the soul. It is Maya that is creating this in us. According to the modes of nature, it will create that particular feeling inside. So, Shandam, Sneham, Shringaram, Krotham, Ahangaram, false ego, everything it is her. So, there is this commentary on Trishadi. Trishadi means that there are certain literature which are very confidentially written in the showing their confidentiality, very on a subtle level, on a higher plane, it is spoken. And this Lalita Sahasranamam is one of Shedashvedara Upanishad, Trishadi, Sahasranamam, Thousand Names. They all have very deep-rooted meanings behind it. Because it has come from great personalities, obviously it has got a very higher spiritual input in that. If you just take the book and read it, you won't understand what it is saying. Some names it will appear to us. But great acharyas have written commentaries on that. When you look into the commentary, you can appreciate the depth of that those literature. They are called Trishadi. So, but the commentaries on these literature, when you read that also, you will find it that is it come from the same personality who wrote the commentary on Bhagavad Gita? And also from the Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, everything, it will come. Sarvakhalidam Brahma, everything is Brahmam. Then, if you know the subtlety of the things in the whole world, of every object, then those things, what's creating the negative emotions inside, it will go. You see, it loses its negativity. Negativity means, just like, when one is very on a gross platform relating with the world, we have our likings and dislikings, isn't it? Some things we think is correct, something is wrong. And over a long period of time, it gets so strong inside us, we don't want to associate with some people, we want to associate with some people, this develops inside. That is called raga dvesham. So it says here that some point in time, we have to learn how to get that object out of our mind. Out of our mind. Just like in the wartime, you can have see this. Two countries are fighting each other. One, all the people in one country thinks that all the people in the other country are their enemies. Is it not? We developed that. Whether it is a World War times or India-Pakistan war or any war if you take, how did this happen? We don't even know people at the other country. But somehow it develops inside, they are our enemies. They have to be taught a lesson or they have to be killed. They haven't done anything to me, but they have attacked our country, or some feeling like that develops in a unknown way, it comes inside. What we forget there is how negative that creating our stops our progress in spiritual path. One who wants to go back home, back to Godhead, he has to clear all these hurdles. Otherwise, he's not going to get there. There is no way, shortcut than that. This is why I'm saying that go back home, back to Godhead is not a very cheap thing. That all these changes has to happen inside. So therefore it is said like this, that Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran. Krishna puts it very firmly in the Bhagavad Gita like that. So, Sarvakhalidam Brahma. So when Maya Devi, personified Maya form, Lalita Devi is presented in the Lalita Sahasranamam, she is presented with all these qualities. Everything is hers, it's her. And it is presented in that way. So, and then says at the end, that very beautifully, that she is Chitsarupini. She is conscious of that Chitshakti. We call in a personal form as Radharani. But Chitshakti is her potency. It is from that potency everything is coming. We don't look at the potency, we look at the person. But if you start looking at the potency, you will start realizing who this personality is. Isn't it? Just like when you talk about Krishna, you see Krishna purely on the deity form. You don't understand who is Krishna, do we? We understand Krishna when aham aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate idimatva bhajandeimam buddha bhava samanyutah. Krishna says, when you start seeing me in every living entity and recognize my presence there, then you are understanding me properly. And this is Krishna's greatest opulence. Not the Himalayas or the oceans or the seas. That presence in everyone, this is Krishna's greatest opulence. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there Krishna talking about that. After speaking all other opulences, Krishna says, my greatest opulence is this, that my presence in everyone, in everything, I am present. And if you come to that opulence of Krishna, then all other opulences are immediately understood. Immediately understood. So similarly, so if you lose the, if you understand the inherent secret in all these things, then that negativity will not develop inside us. The negative emotions will not develop inside. It is Krishna who is present in the Indians, Krishna is present in the Pakistanis. It is Krishna who is present in the English, it is Krishna who is present in the Germans or French or Americans, anywhere you take. Everywhere it's only Krishna who is present in that. If we see it like that, then negative emotions will not develop inside. That is why Krishna said to Uddhava at the end, Uddhava, before going to Badrinath, let me tell you one thing. That akrura krurage jaiva, that you have seen so many things in this world. Somebody cruel, somebody very kind. And somebody very opulent, somebody very poor. But all they are not important, Krishna says. Praname dandavad bhumam ashva chandala ghokharam. He says, as soon as you see any living entity, forget about human species. If you see a dog, elephant, fall down and pay your obeisances and recognize the fact that Krishna is present in them. Praname dandavad bhumam ashva chandala ghokharam. In all of them. That means dog, dog eater. And so what level of consciousness you have to reach before you go back to spiritual world. Imagine that. That when you have to see a dog eater, and a cow or a horse or a donkey, in all of them you're only seeing Krishna's presence there. Krishna's presence, nothing else. It is that state Krishna says you can come. Otherwise, come back again, continue the cycle. There's no choice. So, they give the example that the snake, the poisonous snakes, they have got poisonous teeth, isn't it? So you'll see in India, there are these people who, what they call snake charmers, isn't it? Who bring a lot of round boxes, they'll have one over the other. And each one of them will be packed with different kinds of snakes. Some of them very fiery and, I mean, frightening, and some of them not so frightening, but they'll come and put all the things in front of you, and they'll start opening one after the other, all these baskets. Yeah? So when first they will open one basket, one will come out, and then he will use his big thing and starts playing that thing, what he uses, I don't know what it's called. So he'll play that, and the snake starts showing its hoot and starts dancing. Suddenly a few snakes starts coming out. Actually, and then he plays with them without any problem. Why? He has taken the poisonous teeth out of them. All of them, that poisonous teeth has been pulled out. So he knows that they can't bite him. And even if they bite, there is no poison there. The teeth has been pulled out. Similarly, this ragadvesham is the two teeth in us, the poisonous teeth what we have got. Till we pull that out completely from inside, our perception of the world won't happen. Our perception of the world won't change. It will remain as it is. So, similarly, Krishna says here, then you will see that there is nothing wrong with this world. At the moment we are thinking, oh, that's like this, he's like that, that's why it is like this. There's nothing wrong with the world, it's wrong with us. And the change is inside what is required. So that is, whatever we see here, it's all satyam, but it takes time to come to that platform. Only thing that you have to do is to disillusion yourself from this. It is an illusion that is created in us, this thought. So hypnotism that has affected us, we have to cross over. So, and we have to see things as they are. And what is that? Singsaya means everything is Krishna's presence in anything. Particularly those things which are disturbing us in life. Those things which are disturbing us in our life. We have to, if you can't do that, if you find that difficult, how to see Krishna's presence in everyone, in instances when it happens like that, the answer to that is, like Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, you are seeing Bhishma, you are seeing Drona, you are seeing Karna. Pay your obeisances and quietly walk out from there. There is no other easy way. Otherwise, it will create that negativity inside and it will cause more problems later. So, just to give you an example of that, some 50-60 years ago, this is a student of a great teacher told me this thing. What happened was, it is his teacher who taught him this in a Veda Padashala, where they taught Vedas. So, this Brahmana there, he was very, very poor, very poor. At the same time, in them days, people were more principled, in the sense that this greed wasn't that much, that strong in their mind. So what happened was that although in that poor condition, poverty-stricken state, he used to bring children and educate them in the Shastram. He taught them Vedas. It was a Veda Padashala. Veda Padashala means school where they taught children the Vedas. So he was teaching them Vedas, and in spite of the fact that he didn't have much money capacity, whatever little he had, with that he used to manage everything. Added to that, he had another problem. His wife was a little bit in a disturbed state of mind often. Quite often, disturbed state of mind. So, he used to teach these children, and children used to feel a lot of respect for him. Why? Seeing his tolerance and patience in life, never got upset with any of the children. No, in spite of that poverty in life, never spoken once about it to anybody. And in spite of the fact that there were some opportunities to make money, he never took it. You see, here there is one important point. There are two things in the Vedic tradition. One is called Brahmana. Brahmana means he will never accept a priesthood. This is the first thing. People in the West, I don't know how this misconception has come. If you say you are a Brahmana, you don't accept priesthood. Priesthood is a class of people among the Brahmanas. We are talking about proper Brahmana. The class of people among the Brahmanas who have fallen down, they are called the priests. Nowadays, you will see everyone advertising, I am a Hindu priest. I'm a Hindu priest. And this is a very unfortunate thing that they have misunderstood it that way. Whoever has... they thought priesthood is a very respectable profession or respectable position. No, it is not. Because priesthood means you are accepting money from the public for your livelihood. You don't accept priesthood, you get respect for your austerities, for your knowledge of the self, self-realization. All this comes with the Brahminical qualities. Priest is not supposed to have any of these qualities. Priest is there only to perform your rituals or to pacify you in your problems in life. He has to come and do whatever he has to do, and you pay for it. That's your duties, dakshina. With that, it's over. The business is over. With that, you're finished. So as soon as someone says he is a priest, you have to accept that he has accepted this lower occupation. It's a lower occupation. That means he could not sustain his Brahminical qualities. That's what it means. He could not retain it properly, so he has accepted this lower occupation of a priest. So, priesthood is, they will generally, most of them won't go for priesthood. Brahmana, proper Brahmana, won't go for the priesthood. This is the culture. It is very clear about that, right from Kashmir to Kanyakumari, this is the principle. It doesn't change. So, they will not accept in return something because they have that strength inside that the noble side of life, for others' benefit, they live in this world. That they are able to help others in the spiritual side, and their own life is the message to others. Seeing that austerity in life and the penances, and even in that poverty state, to uphold higher values, which is impossible, isn't it? Right now, first thing what we ask is, what's the salary? Isn't it? After that, we'll discuss the rest of the thing. But then they never had to discuss salary. Salary was not an issue for them. So, this particular personality, he worshipped Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati's devotee he was. Sri Vidya Upasakas, they are called. Kamakshi, she worshipped. So, one day, as I said before, that His wife was a little bit disturbed state. Quite often she used to get disturbed. He was teaching the children. This is the person who was present there told me this how it happened. He said, he was teaching the children. And there were 10 or 12 children sitting there and he was teaching them the Vedas. At that time, his wife, something happened to her. From the kitchen, she took a very large knife and came to him to hit her with a knife. Beating with a knife, she came. And all the children in the classroom, they got frightened the way she came with the knife in the hand. And when they came, she said that. He was so cool. Absolutely in a very, very cool mood. What did he do? He sat there and looked at her, paid her obeisances, and told her that Ashtau Bhujangim Mahishasya Mardinim Sashanga Jakram Shirashula Dharinim Tam Divya Yogim Sahajada Vedasim Durgam Sadam Sharanamaham Prabhadim. He is seeing her, Durga Devi's manifestation. He is not seeing her as his own wife. And this is the prayer verse he has recited. Saying this particular verse, he paid his obeisances to her. As soon as he paid her obeisances, she went back with the big knife. Just a huge big knife, you know, they have different size of knives for cutting the coconut, you have a big one. It was one of that she had. She had such a knife with her, and if you had with that something done, then you could be gone from this world. But when he recited this, the students who were present there, they were saying later about that, we don't know about Krishna, but we know what is God by seeing that quality. Why? Because in him the at that particular moment in time, he did not think of her as though she has come to kill him, or did not even look at her with any kind of krodham, anger or kamam, lust or anything, no ill feelings at all, simply saw in her the manifestation of Sri Parvati there. Durga Devi's manifestation he saw and he paid her obeisances. This is exactly what Prahlada did to Hiranyakashipu. You may wonder how come we talk about Hiranyakashipu a lot, isn't it? Hiranyakashipu is like this, Kamsa is like that, Ravana is like that. We think, we do all sorts of things with them. We get a lot of pleasure from that, firing them and killing and talking about them. But when Prahlada saw, it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Hiranyakashipu could not do anything to Prahlada. Why? Because Prahlada was seeing in Hiranyakashipu not as Hiranyakashipu's vasanas. What we are seeing is the vasanas in a person, isn't it? When you don't like somebody, when you have to deal with someone, you're always behind your mind thinking about how is he going to react now to what I've said, or what is he going to do now, the next thing. So what we are seeing is his vasanas inside. When we don't see the vasanas in a person and we only see Krishna's presence in that person, then this whole relationship changes between, like it happened between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada. Prahlada is not seeing any wickedness in Hiranyakashipu. Any wickedness in Hiranyakashipu. So when we start seeing like that in others also, then it is not Jagat anymore. Yat kinja jagatyam jagat. It is not Jagat anymore. Jagat is when there is ragadvesham. When there is no ragadvesham, no attachment aversion, it is not Jagat anymore. It has come out of that. It has become Brahman. That is the change what has happened inside. Yat kinja jagatyam jagat. Tenaktyena bunjida magrada kasya siddhanam. That is the next two lines there. So, when our ignorance goes away, the ajnanam goes away, when ragadvesham does not develop inside, that means which we have superimposed on this truth of material world, then enjoy this world in that way. That verse is telling us. Tena tektvena bunjida ma grada kasya siddhanam. So if our vision or interaction with this world is with this ishavasyam idam sarvam, then it is easy to, you have given up the ragadvesham. Tena tektvena bunjida. You can enjoy that world according to the prarabdham, what it brings to us. That is allowed. What, according to prarabdham, what it brings allowed. So all that intuition is gone. In that situation, what you are experiencing is only your prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma is what you are experiencing. So, and nothing can happen. So long as you are living in this world, everything will come and go. But so many things you will come, receive it, so many things you will lose it. But whatever comes and goes, you will see there the presence of Krishna in there. So, that is what it is mentioned there. So many great personalities in the history, they were like that. So there was one great spiritual personality lived. She is no more now. She got very sick at one stage. And many people asked her that, why don't you do something about that sickness in the body? She says, the answer was that you all people have come to me. Similarly, the illness also has come. Why should I ask her to go? This was his mood. Because when you separate yourself from the body, then if you can see everything, you can accept, provided you know that is also Krishna who is present there in the form of that illness also. Of course, at the moment we are thinking God is somewhere else, in some place, somewhere he is living, we are here, we are separated from them. So in the Vedic tradition, right from the beginning, they want to remove that conception. That is the difference between the Vedic way of thinking and in other religious processes. All other religions, we say that after death we'll go there, we will see, meet with him somewhere in another planet or another, in Golokam, Vaikuntham or Kailasam or whatever it is, or heavens or whichever religious process it is. Vedas are saying, no, it's not like that, right now here. If it's not happening here, it's not something that is kept somewhere else that you have to go and pick up later. It is right here. And that is why it is they, in order to get that kind of thinking, training inside us, that in Vedic tradition, we are trying like this, that everything connected with Krishna somehow or the other. Otherwise it won't happen. Suppose we tell you, here I can do what I want, I live the life what I like. After death what will happen, I'll see at that time. If we develop that attitude in life, we will never have that purity while living this world. Therefore, in the Vedic system, it's always right now, here itself, we have to connect with Krishna in all our activities in life, in everything, while eating, while sleeping, while walking, while doing any other activity, while even breathing. So, what they have done is, in Vedic system, what they have done is, while eating, they have this Brahmarpanam, a process, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagno, Brahmanahudam. What am I eating for? To fulfill the desire of Vaishwanara inside. Krishna is present inside, he is asking for food. Aham Vaishwanara Bhuktva, Praninam Dehamashridaha, Bhagavad Gita verse. So, while eating, that is the concept. That Vaishwanara energy inside, Krishna who is present, he wants food. So, I have to provide food for him. You are connected with Krishna that way. Similarly, anything else, while bathing in the water, it is holy. It is Krishna's water, Ganga Devi, present there. I have to be careful when I... That recognizing this in everything in life. When you do that, you are actually getting connected with Krishna all the time, in some form or the other. Therefore, Upanishad says here, Aham ja Brahma, Annam ja Brahma, Bhokta ja Brahma. Everything is Brahmam. I am Brahmam. And Annam, food is Brahmam. And the enjoyer is also Brahmam. And Annam Brahmam, Bhokta Brahmam. Bhokta Bhogyam, Preridadi Chavatva, Bhoktam Travidam Brahmam Evad. This is the purpose behind it. So, in order to come all these things practically in life, a lot of meditation is required, isn't it? A lot of meditation is required and continuous meditation, and that is called sadhana. This is the sadhana. Sadhana is not that I have chanted a lot of mantra, read a lot of books, and then rest of the time I did what I feel is right. But that is not sadhana. Proper sadhana is that when one accept all these things within ourselves and we develop a life pattern centered around this principle, Krishna calls that as a sadhana. 24 hours, 365 days. That is why in jnanam process, unlike in the bhakti process or in the karma margam, in jnanam process there is no particular sadhana as such. There is no sadhana. This is the sadhana. This connecting everything with Krishna at all stages in some form or the other. That is the sadhana. If you look into Srimal Bhagavatam, you will see this. Sugadeva Goswami, in the second canto, says, if you look in the first chapter in the Srimal Bhagavatam, you will see there are interesting words. How this connection is such an important thing. He says there that the... He says that...
Sa sarvadhi vrittyane bhuda sarvaha Alma yada sotna jane kshideigaha Tam satyamananda nidhim bhajeta Nanyatra sajjet yada alma padaha.
What he says, Alma yada sotna jane kshideigaha. That in sapnam, in the dream state, you create different bodies, isn't it? You create yourself other bodies. Just like you create an elephant, you create a tiger. All that is coming from you. Nobody came there actually. It's coming from inside, from the mind, isn't it? That's where it's coming from. So, Atma yadha sotna janekshidegaha. We create that elephant, we create the tiger, and then we get frightened with that. Is it not? Indeed, that's what happens in the dream state. Only old people will know this because we dream a lot. Young people, they get good sleep, so they don't know. But when you're old, you'll know this, that most of the time we are in a... And then we wake up and start thinking, what was I dreaming about? So, this is how it happens. We create and we get frightened about that, what we have created. Say, elephant is coming to hit me. or a tiger is coming to eat me, or things like that. Or I've fallen down from a 14-story building. I've created the building myself inside, and I've fallen from that building, and I'm frightened. I'm going to fall and die. So, Alma yadha sotna jane chidaigaha. Sudeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit, it is like this, Parikshit, that you create yourself and you are experiencing that. But if you understand this, tam satyamananda nidhim bhajeda nanyatra sajedida almapadaham, that inside this subtle body, all activities, what is happening through this subtle body, all activities, who is experiencing inside this? That Andaryami. Andaryami means the Krishna's presence inside as the super soul. Super soul is present there, but it is from the super soul Jiva has come. You remember that example, Dvay Subarna Saija Sakhaya, two birds sitting on the tree. Originally there is only one bird. When it wanted to experience the world, one bird again came out from that other bird. From the original bird, another bird came out. That original bird is sitting there and observing everything. Original bird doesn't want to get involved in anything. The second bird, which has caught, it goes down, each branch starts eating different fruits. Every time it eats a fruit, one fruit is, when it bites, it's very bitter. So, it changes its color a little bit. It becomes a little dark. When it eats a tasty, sweet fruit, it feels happy. This is us, Krishna is talking about. So these two birds on the tree keeps moving from one branch to... One bird is sitting there, another bird is looking this way, that way. When it eats a bitter fruit, it looks back into the other bird. And that is called the way Dva Subarna Saija Sakhaya. We live inside this body with the Andaryami, with Krishna inside. We live like this. One day, when we have finished this eating business of the fruits and experienced everything from the world, we get fed up with it. Isn't it? We get fed up with it. We realize that there is nothing in this world to enjoy. It's all nothing but suffering. As soon as that happens, what happens is this bird, which has come far away from the original bird, starts going back to the original bird. Eventually it goes and joins the other bird which was sitting there. When it joins that other bird, originally it has got back its original color, which was full of knowledge and bliss. So that is why it says here, when one realizes this, tam satyamananda nidhim bhajetaha, when you are accepting that bird who is present there, who is a witness of everything, na anyatra sajjet yada almapadaha, if you fix up on that and you accept him and approach him, you will escape from this misery. That means this bird, which has come from the original bird, out of the two birds, one which has come from the original bird, till it goes back to the other original bird from where it came out, it has no alternative. It has to suffer in this world. Nanyatra sajjedada almapadaha. So if you see anything outside that bird is the soul. It is spiritual. If you leave that bird and come to the matter and get entangled in the matter, you will never experience that blissful experience what you had with the original bird who is in the top of the tree. On the top of the tree. And he said this to Parikshit. Sukadeva Goswami spoke this in the second canto when he started talking Srimad Bhagavatam. First thing itself, he said this. First of all, he spoke about Virat form. Virat form means the universal form of Krishna's presence in the whole universe. In Krishna's body extending from three different planetary systems, upper, middle and lower planetary systems, and expanded that to say that this is one form of Krishna, he said. You should start with this. But then, at the end he said, sa sarva divatyane bhuta sarvam almayada sapna jane chidaigaham tam satyamananda nidhim bhajeda nanyatra sajjed yada almapadaham. So, if you do not go and link yourself with that bird who is inside as the super soul, almapadaha, you will fall, later on, what Sude Goswami says that na anyatra sajjed atmapadaha. If you do not link with that source of the original bird, then the chances are that you will fall down and you will lose your spiritually, you will be completely degraded. You'll go away from that. Patanam. Patanam means fall down for the soul. That will be the result of that. He wants that in that first chapter itself. And it is after that he started talking about mukti, liberation, what it means, isn't it? Two kinds of mukti he spoke there. One is the mukti in relationship with the what is known as a krama mukti, and the other one is sadhya mukti. Krama mukti means gradually how one goes back home, back to the spiritual world, and sadhya mukti means instantaneously how one can go back. All these things were spoken there. So so na anyatra sajjeda atmapadaha. The moment we lose that realization that it is the soul that alone exists, and we will fall. Why will it fall? Because as soon as you lose your connection with the soul, parichedam has happened. Parichedam means different experiences of different entities in this world. The spiritual identity is lost and we have fallen into that state. So in the commentary it says here like that, that the yatha chandanad chandanag avadi udagadi sambandham sambandeja kleshadi jeva aushadhiga daurghandhyam tastava rupa nidharshanainam achadhyade svena paramarthigena gandhena. This is the bhashyam. Commentary on that is like this. Then yatha chandanadi aguru. That means if you leave sandalwood in water, if you leave sandalwood in water for some time, say in a pot of water, if you leave a small piece of sandalwood, afterwards it will smell very bad. If you just leave it in the water, isn't it? It will smell very bad. But you can't say that smell is coming from the sandalwood, because sandalwood by its own nature it is very good to smell, isn't it? So similarly, the soul has got this bad smell due to avidya, to ajnanam. But the soul on its own doesn't smell bad. It has got good qualities inside. Good means it is full of bliss, full of knowledge and eternal. That is the nature of the soul. So just like sandalwood on its own is pure, and the soul is also pure. It is eternal, it's full of bliss, full of knowledge. But when it contacts with the, just like sandalwood is in the water, when the soul gets engaged in this body and lives in this material world, it's not smelling, foul smell comes from that. So that is called upadhyam. Upadhi has created that. So, as soon as you keep on discussing about the soul, we will start experiencing that smell of the sandalwood coming from the soul. Coming from the soul. Somehow or the other, this foul smell has come on the soul. We talk about that. That means that this durgandham or this bad smell that has come to the sandalwood when it is lying in the water. Similarly, while in the material world also, the smell of that has affected us in the on the soul has happened this. So as soon as you keep hearing about your swarupam, swarupam means your identity as the soul, this will go away. This bad smell that we have accumulated will go away. That's why it says here taddehavi taddevahi swatma anyadhyastam swabhavigam kartrutva bhoktrutvadi lakshanam jagadvaita rupam jagatyam prithivyam jagatyam iti ubalakshanartham anvasam evena nama rupa karmakhyam vigarajat paramartha satyatma bhavanaya vyaktam syat. Says kartrutva bhoktrutvam, that means I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. രാഗം ദ്വേഷം അറ്റാച്ച്മെന്റ് ആൻഡ് അവേർഷൻ നാമം രൂപം നെയിംസ് ആൻഡ് ഫോം ദിസ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ജഗത്ത് മീൻസ് ദിസ് വേൾഡ് മീൻസ് പരമാർത്ഥ ഭാവനയ ത്യക്തം ദാറ്റ് ബൈ നോയിങ് ദി ട്രൂത്ത് ബിഹൈൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത് ട്രൂത്ത് മീൻസ് ദി സോൾ പരമാർത്ഥ ഭാവനയ ത്യക്തം ആൻഡ് എവറിഥിങ് നോയിങ് ദാറ്റ് എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് പരമാർത്ഥ സ്വരൂപം പരമാർത്ഥ സ്വരൂപം ആൻഡ് നോയിങ് ദാറ്റ് യു ഹാവ് ടു ഗിവ് അപ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് വിച്ച് വൺ ദി കർത്തൃത്വ ഭോക്തൃത്വം രാഗദ്വേഷം നാമരൂപം ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ഷുഡ് ബി ഗിവൺ അപ് given up means that's what it means everything how do we remove it this is the important question isn't it to start with they give this example that how to give up this attachment aversion to other people so just like a child when the child sees the mother if the child sees the mother as the supreme truth as the absolute truth in other words ishvara if his child is able to see like that then this form you have given up the concept of mother there you're not mother anymore you are seeing her as the seeing the mother as the lord a husband has to see the wife in that way wife has to see the husband in that way that's the only way whether it is children whether it is wife or anybody all of in all this relationship selfishness is gone attachment is gone and that falsity also goes away so in seeing this divinity in everything that this is what Krishna says here that this science and in order to bring that into practical life there are so many confidential techniques applied for that they are confidential in the sense that the knowledge is spoken in the Upanishads the knowledge is already spoken in the Upanishads but if you keep reflecting on these principles what Krishna has what Ishvanishad is saying that reflection alone will give us the process by which we can implement that in this world it is like this it's compared to just like you know when you start bicycle how once you start learning how to ride the bike in the beginning isn't it in the beginning so in the beginning what do they have you can read the book how to ride the bike but ultimately what happens you sit on a bike and you have to ride you will fall few times but ultimately there is something in us which tells us how to balance ourselves that's not something nobody can explain to you isn't it okay you sit on the bike and you start riding you'll fall but after a while what is that thing that gives you that feeling of how to become stable in riding the bike that comes from within isn't it it's not somebody will can teach you that nobody can teach you that isn't it so it has to come like this it has to happen in other words that cycle training is a perfect example for that similarly all this what Upanishads are talking about we ourselves have to take it on board and start using it in regular life and then you will know that it works it will has its own benefits in life it will have its own impact on us in our life that is the most important thing so that's why it is spoken here that the initially you will fall and but people who is teaching you how to ride the bike they'll still say carry on try again a few times you try eventually you get it isn't it eventually you'll get it so just like that all these Upanishads instructions are like that you can't ask all the time how can it be how can we do that you take the knowledge and within yourself you apply that in every situation and see how it changes our way of thinking our way of life but you have to find the balance in you balance is already there but some techniques by some techniques we get that balance in the bike isn't it in the same way swimming is also like that is it not swimming is also like that we have the body has a natural power to float isn't it there's a natural power to float. But till we get it, we get frightened of the water, we go underneath the water, And but we till we what is but it is natural to us to recognize it, and till we own it, and we will sink, isn't it? Till we own it, we will sink in the water. So, but as soon as you own that particular capacity to swim, which is already there within everyone, and when that gets it, we get it, then you get that experience of that. So, similarly, this knowledge in the Upanishads, what Krishna has talked about in the Ekadasha Skandham also, we have to take it and start applying somewhere in life. And you will get that balance little by little. And living life, living a life like that and reflecting on that, little by little. And that is what is called sannyasam. Sannyasam is that life. And this sannyasam is what is required in life. Here, Ajari Swamiji says here, there is only those people who have cultivated this and developed this understanding in life, they are not anymore expected to do karma in this world. They are not expected to do karma in this world because he has no attachment anywhere and is also seeing Krishna's presence in everything. This is what is called sannyasam according to him. If this is the sannyasam, it is not a wrong thing. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is also talks about this sannyasam. And that is what is the important point. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnal Purnamudachade Purnasyam Purnam Adaya Purnameva Avashishyade Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. That was the invocation prayers in the Ishavanishad. And then he said Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. These two verses, Purnamadam, we spoke about that, and we also spoke about this Ishavasamidam Sarvam. All that, what is centered around these two verses, are the is the essence of this Ishopanishad. So, Ishavasam idam sarvam. Idam sarvam Ishwarena achadaniyam. That means, everything in this world, cover that with Krishna. Cover that with Krishna. Everything should be seen as Krishna's manifestations. Seeing itself is a wrong thing to say, because when you say seeing means seeing with the senses, isn't it? But what is expected here is there are two things. When you are seeing something, there is a process called seeing, isn't it? You are seeing and there is a process of seeing also. So, alokyate iti lokaha. So, you see, world, the definition of the world is lokam, isn't it? Lokam means alokyate iti lokaha. When you are seeing something, what you see, that is the world for us, isn't it? Alokyate iti lokaha. So, what Upanishad is saying, what you see is this world, but how you should live in this world. That is what Upanishad is talking about. Upanishad is not saying to us that everything what you see is this world. That's not what Upanishad is saying to us. While living in this world, when you are seeing with the senses, how you should live here. That's what it is talking about. And that means that seeing Krishna's presence in everything, you have to give up the concept of the presence of the Jagat, the world here. Pretty subtle understanding that the soul from whom all these things have come, everything has come from the soul. Mind has come from the soul, intelligence has come from the soul, senses have come from the soul. The gross body has come from the soul, and all the objects in this world have come from the soul. But in various dimensions, we are relating with them in different forms. So Krishna's point is, Upanishad's point is, cover everything with the soul. That's what Ishavasyamidam Sarva means, covering everything with the soul. In other words, keep stressing the point to ourselves that it's only the soul that has come in this form. When you see someone, it's another soul. Soul has taken that form and come in front of me. So, first one has to begin that with the close personalities. It's a very important point, and this particular mantra is mainly meant for the sannyasis. Mainly meant for the sannyasis, because for them, they require this more than anyone else, isn't it? Because in sannyasa ashram, you can't afford to have any ragadvesham anywhere, in any form. Therefore, it's an important topic that is discussed here. When it says here, nyasa eva adhigaraha na karmasu, sanyasa eva ahangaraha, hagaraha na karmasu. So that Jnani who has realized this, can he live in this world like before? That is an important question. A person who has reached that state, can he live in this world like before? He is seeing everything in terms like before. He is seeing everything in a different level now, isn't it? Because he has covered everything as the manifestation of the soul. What will happen? Can he continue to work in this world like before? Ajari Swamiji says he cannot work anymore. He cannot work anymore. It is not possible. Because if you are working in this world in karma, that means basically what is understood is there is raga dvesham is there. Kamam, desires. Kamam is an important part of the karma, isn't it? If you remember Kunti Devi's prayers, what did Kunti Devi say to Krishna? Bravesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karmabhi. Kunti Devi says there. That bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya. Avidya or ignorance in us. How does it, this ignorance is a very subtle thing. We say somebody is ignorant. It mean to say that, oh, he does know how to behave or he doesn't act properly. That's what it generally means, isn't it? But avidya in spiritual sense means something deeper than that. Avidya in your spiritual sense means that from avidya, what happens to all of us is desires come first. Kama. Desires develop first from avidya. Avidya is the cause of that. We often wonder, why do I get so many desires to do different things? Just like you can say that when you are completely free from desires, that is the state where you are ready for the liberation right now here. You don't have to go to the spiritual world for liberation. This is a misconception in us. Liberation is right here when the whole desires have gone away from inside. And all desires have come from vasanas, from previous vasana, from previous lifetime. Just like I'm now speaking here from Ishobanishad. And to speak and to talk to others about this, where did this come from? Sometime in some birth in previous life, I must have got that desire in me. I must have developed some desire in me that I want to do this. That has fructified now and it started like this. It started like this. This is how it has happened. So Krishna says to Arjuna there that vasana balam, the power of the vasana is such that it will bring you one after the other all the desires in front of you. And if you start fulfilling those desires, you can't escape from that desire, but while executing that particular desire, fulfilling that desire, the consciousness has to change in a person. That's what Krishna did to Arjuna also, isn't it? He says to him that that avidya karma karmabhi, isn't it? Avidya, from ignorance is that desire has come. No doubt about that. Now, while doing this, for example, as I'm just giving some my own example, that if I have this desire to speak like this to others, that means I have cultivated this desire some point in time before in my life. That's why it has come about now, like this. Now, if I do this without any expectations in life, without hoping for name or fame or making a big noise and sound in this world, just allow that to get through, then that desire will get killed and go. That is how the desires will go. You see, so many desires we get. Some desires, you can stop it by intelligence and by control of the mind. But some desires, you can't change. It has to live through. You have to live through that and exhaust it. But when you exhaust those desires, the mood inside has to be that don't expect anything from that action, whatever you are performing to fulfill that desire. Not expecting anything, number one, and not expecting either materially some wealth or name or fame, or these are the normal things associated with activities in this world. Without expecting anything, if you do it, if you go through it, then that desire will come to a dead stop. It will not stay back again. In this way, if all desires are exhausted, Krishna is saying, right in this body, right here, you are liberated. Liberation is not something which is kept later on for somewhere else. That is a concept that we use it to encourage people to come to spiritual life. Because many people will find it very hard to, if they are told that there is somewhere else, better place, then they will all come. So get everybody on board and then tell the truth to them. There's no other way. If you tell them initially all these things, they'll find it very hard, isn't it? That's why in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is a little bit more straight about that. Vendo mukta iti vyakya gunato me na vastuda gunasya maya mulatva name mokshona bandhanam. Krishna finished it there itself in one verse. He says, there is no thing called bandham, there is no thing called moksham. Basically, it's all right here, right now, where you are. In this world, right now, while in this body, if you have exhausted all your desires, whether it is good desire or bad desire, neither should be there. If you look into Bhagavatam, there is one instance, this comes about. Bhogena bhavam kushalena. If you look, Prahlad Maharaj, after Narasimha Murthy appeared, if you remember the conversation between Narasimhamurti and Prahlada, if you look into that conversation, you will see there. Narasimhamurti says to Prahlada, Prahlada says, I don't want any boons, he said. But if you insist that I should ask for a boon, you should give me a boon in such a way that I will not ask any boon. That should be the boon, he says. So Narasimhamurti says, that I can give you, but there is some vasanas there still left, desires inside. So live in this world, and through enjoying, experiencing this life in this world, exhaust your desires for sense enjoyment. Bhogena punyam. That through sense enjoyment, exhaust all of them. And what else? Any sinful activities or any pavavasana is inside, experience that distress and exhaust them also. Both. So when all your pious activities, sinful activities is completely wiped out, then you are liberated. Then you don't have to go anywhere for liberation. Liberation is not a packaged thing like in the Sainsbury shop, kept there. It's happened inside here. That's where it has to happen. So that's why it is said, if you look, study the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam carefully, you will notice this. Krishna is stressing this point. Right now it has to happen. I've done so many things in this world and I'm expecting that one day the plane will come for me. I'll be an illusion. It's a great mistake to think like that, that somebody is going to take me somewhere else. So that is why avidya, kamam, karmam. Three things are connected. From avidya, from ignorance, comes kamam, desires. And from kamam, when desires comes, I immediately start karmam. Karmabhi, action must follow. So if one has freed himself from all desires for him, there will be no karmam. That is the logic. There is no karmam for him to perform anything, because even if something happening, it's not karmam anymore. It is happening through him. It is not binding him anymore. That is the point that is made here. So, in other words, basically what it's pointing out is, if you want to function in this world with karmam, you need ignorance. You see that logic? We may be thinking, you see, it's a very interesting thing actually to discuss this karmam and avidya. From avidya only karmam comes. We are going to office every morning. Why? We go to office every morning because it's avidya. From the spiritual point of view, it is avidya actually inside us. Then, without any prejudice, you have to hear this, because otherwise you'll get affected by that very carefully. So, Ajahn Swamiji is saying like this, that this mantra, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, it will not go with karmam together. Karmam and this mantra is in a separated state. Because karmam, by karmam what is spoken, two things are spoken. One is ragadvesham, with ragadvesham, with ambition in this world, whatever you are doing in this world is karmam. That is one kind of karmam. And the other one is the Veda Vihita karmam. That means sacrifices and things like that, which are recommended in the Vedas. So these are the two things generally referred to as karma. What we are doing now in our daily life, what we call it as for earning our daily bread. So this karma is nothing but, what is it? This karma what we are doing is, mostly it is vikarma. Isn't it? Mostly it is vikarma. It's not even in the category of karma. Karma, when you refer to, it has to be in accordance with the Vedic system. So he says here that even jnanis who have liberated from this from these situations, that when they perform karma, in which category will you include them? In which category you will include them? This is the question. So their body is also active, and they also seems to active. But vidusham kriyamana karmam akarmaiva. The liberated souls, jnanis, when they execute karmam, it's not karmam anymore because it's akarmam. He spoke about that in that chapter. When you are in the realized state, if you are still doing karmam in this world, it's not karmam, it's akarmam. That is how that karmam, akarmam, vikarmam in Bhagavad Gita, we talked about it, isn't it? So that's an important thing. So so such a person, isha vasavidam sarvam, et kincha chakatyam chakat. So jagat, the whole jagat, he has to see as Krishna's manifestations. So this ishavasam idam sarvam is actually the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, very much the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavata Dharmam is talking about this. You see, today we are seeing the world as individuals, different persons, and everywhere different. So similarly, if you are in a family, you see you are the husband or somebody's wife, and then the children, and you expect that the husband says something, he expects the child and the children and the wife to listen to it and things like that. So there is a little abhimanam, or there is a pride in that. So the wife is feeling that the husband is not showing any attention, giving any attention, and all says that she is not providing what I've asked for. And similarly, relationship in all relationships between the children and the parents, and with the mother and the children. So, actually, sometimes children feel that they are not being recognized for what they have done. So there's always differences of opinion. These relationships in this world is called material existence. Samsaram it is called. And this is a big defense, big disease to cure. That in all families you will see this, in some form or the other, there is problems in some levels, isn't it? The husband, wife and mother and children, father and children. This relationship is called a samsaram. So, this, to solving this problem, how do we get out of this? Unconsciously, in a worldly plane, this we are experiencing, where you are or physically or practically unconscious. In order to free yourself from this, it is not possible by performing meditation, is it? By performing meditation. So Shruti says to us, any meditation process, pranayamam, or any kind of yoga process will not help to come out of this particular situation. So Shruti says there, tena tektvena bunjida. That is the solution for that problem. Very easy. Tena tektvena bunjida. This superimposition is called adhyasam. Adhyasam means, just like you see in the snake in a rope, that is adhyasam. Similarly, in the soul, we are seeing the body. And in the body, we are seeing Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the four varnam, and the four ashramam, everything. And similarly, we see these titles, positions known as husband, wife, father, son, mother, son, uncle, aunt, all these kind of things. Big person, small person. And we also identify that I am entitled for this, or so many complaints about others. All this is comes from vyavaharam, isn't it? In the soul. When you conduct vyavaharam on the soul, spiritual identity, this is all the result of that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Family relationships, we have problem. On a social level, we have problems. Everywhere, it's there. And between different individuals, it exists. So, because it is like that, that is identified as samsara, material existence. How did they come about? Because all of these things have come from the soul. From the soul. So, the only way to cure this is not by yoga process or anything. It is not possible. When we turn our attention back to the soul again, this individual identity as husband, wife, father, mother, brother, sister, all kinds of relationships, they will all disappear. They will all disappear from inside. And that is why it is mentioned like this. Tektvena. Tektvena, tena tektvena bhunjita. So, this after effect of seeing the soul in different forms is causing this material existence. Material existence, what we are experiencing, is an after effect of that. After effect of what? After effect of superimposing these different things on the soul. The after effect of that is what we experience in our day-to-day dealings in the family life, in the social life and everything. Social life, everything. So that is why it said there that everything is rejected. You will see there. When we talk about the manobuddhyahangara chittani naham, that everything is first rejected. I'm not the mind. I'm not intelligence. I'm not the chittam. I'm not the false ego. None of them I am. I am none of them. Na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudra. I'm not a brahmana. I'm not a kshatriya. I'm not a vaishya. I'm not a shudra. Na brahmajari grihi. Neither a brahmajari, nor I am a grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. Then what is it? What am I then? Nija bhauta rupam. I am only the soul. So, till we get back to that state, samsaram will continue in this world. Material existence will be there and we will have to get affected by that. Till you find that element which is eternal, consciousness or bodham, chaitanyam. So, up to that time, everything is rejected. Everything is rejected. So first everything is rejected, and later on, initially everything is rejected, and eventually it says ishavasamidam sarvam, cover everything with the soul. So in other words, everything that has come out from the soul in the form of all these different entities, I am not that, I am not that, I am not that, none of them I am. And then what I do? I cover everything, is nothing but the soul. That is how it is explained here. So little by little it says that the relationship with others also in family life or in social life, if at least in the family life, one has to begin this. That we should learn how to look at others also as a Krishna's manifestation is in that person. Otherwise, if our relationships based on the body in this world will definitely bring distress at the end. Will definitely bring distress at the end. So that is the important point there. So I'll stop there today. Feeling a bit uneasy with the stomach. So somebody can have some kirtan for some time. And then we'll see tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Pushta Krishna, not to say.